Psalms chapter 16 and also Psalms 61. In Psalms chapter 61, let's read verse number 5. Psalms 61 and verse 5. And the Bible says this: "By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the covenants of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off and upon the sea." Did I read the right verse? Oh man, I read 65:5. Wow, okay. 61:5. "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." Now I'll go to Psalm 16, talking about a heritage there. Now, young people, you've got a heritage. You're sitting here washed in the blood and saved by the grace of God. The Lord has given you an heritage of the Lord. Matter of fact, the fruit of the womb is His reward. Happy is the man that hath. It's what it says. And young people are just a gift from God for us to take and turn them to the Lord and get them born again through Jesus Christ and get them to honor and glorify Christ. That's our mission for young people. That's what mom and daddy's supposed to try to do to the best of their ability. And they're not ours. They're the Lord's property. They're just given to us, temporarily borrowed, if you will, while we're in this veil of tears passing through this old dirt ball. Amen. And I'm ready to go. They can have it. Amen. Psalm 16:6 says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea," David said, "I have a goodly heritage." Okay, now go to Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 11. I just want to talk about our Baptist heritage for just a few minutes. And it's a simple message. I'm going to encourage you instead of coming after giving all the kids a whipping tonight. Amen. The Lord laid this on my heart, and I try to stay away from that be nice tonight. Amen. My wife says I never give out any lollipops, and she's right, I don't. Amen. I steal them all from the kids and eat them for myself. Amen. But, I'm going to try to be nice tonight. Amen. And try to encourage the kids and make you, if nothing else, thankful for what you're sitting here and partaking of. And I know you know all this stuff, but sometimes we need to be reminded of really how good you have it. Amen. I mean, it really, when you look at it in a whole of the picture, independent Baptists are a grain of sand on the seashore, really. People that really got the truth and got God's love letter from heaven. And really, when you look at America and you look at the whole world, we're a very small percentage. And I mean, you think about the Navy SEALs, they've grown now. It used to be there was about 220 of them. Now it's way past that. They've up to the 3,000 mark or thereabouts. It's grown and things because they're using them more now and they're getting killed more. But really, in the military perspective, they're elite. They're a rare commodity, and they're not for the faint heart. Well, this is the same here, okay? I believe it even more so. You've got an heritage that's precious. I mean, it's just precious in God's sight. As a matter of fact, precious in the eyes of the Lord of the death of His saints, amen? But anyhow, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, I know John, it says John the Baptist, and I'm not a brighter. They're heretics, okay? But what I am going to say, I'm going to use the word John was called a Baptist. He wasn't called John the Catholic. Amen? So just bear with me. I know I'm stretching it here. But you know, amen, I like it. Amen. I'm glad he was called a Baptist. Amen. He dunked them under. Amen. He took them all the way under. He didn't sprinkle and throw a little hocus pocus holy water stuff and God bless Mary and the rest of them. Amen. We's coming down here today from up in Indianapolis, and they had a church called Mary, Queen of Peace. Well, the Bible says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's the kind of peace Mary's given there. That's not the Mary of the Bible. You know, they've elevated Mary now to a godhood in the cat. You know what? That's where that's at? I mean, it's wicked, man. Amen. She's right up beside the Pope now. They're both riding into praise side by side now. Amen. You know what the Pope is? He's a pot-bellied liquorhead. That's what he is. Amen. You can tell him I said so. Amen. I'm an old-fashioned Bible believer. Amen. And I got a lot of family that's Catholic, and we've locked horns a few times, and it's been a rough road, but hey, y'all want them to know what's right. Amen. Okay, it says, in those days, in chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look down at chapter 11, verse 10. This is how John starts out. Now, he had a short ministry, okay? He got his head taken off for preaching the truth, getting in somebody's face, somebody in authority, Herod. A politician, if you will, the man in charge of that area of the country at that time, and John publicly got in his business for messing around with somebody else's wife. Say amen right there. That's still wrong today, amen. It was wrong back then, she's wrong today, amen. Nothing's changed. Jesus hadn't changed, and this book ain't changed, amen. Still right. Adultery is still adultery. Say amen. I mean, we just celebrated our 20-year when he called me the other day. We're up in Indianapolis, stayed at a place, 20 years married to my wife there. I say amen. Amen. And I'll tell her myself, and I'm fixing to say something, you can laugh, you know, okay? I was telling her that she's high maintenance. I kid with her all the time, okay? She's not high maintenance at all. She's the opposite. But I was kidding her and saying, man, you know what, honey, you've been high maintenance for 20 years, dear Lord. And I'm joking around with her at a restaurant. She goes, you know what, honey? If I was high maintenance, I would have left you a long time ago. I went. I didn't say anything, amen. I'm like, where did that come from, amen? She's right, though. I ain't going to argue with her. She's right, amen. I'm glad she don't believe in divorce, amen. She's stuck. That old Bible's again it, amen. So I said, baby, you got to be biblical. You're going to hang with me till now, till Jesus comes, amen. Now, it's a blessing. We joke all the time. I want to thank God for it. It's been a wonderful, a fast road, but it's been wonderful, amen. Nothing like being married in the will of God. Nothing like it. Outside of getting saved, it's the greatest institution in this country as far as I'm concerned, amen. I thank God for it, amen. Anyhow, okay, so we're talking about John. What kind of preacher was John? I'm not going to take a bunch of time here. Matthew 14 says this, verses 1 through 8. We just talked about it. That's where in the scriptures, in Matthew 14, verses 1 to 8, that's where it's recorded that he gets in Herod's face for Herodias, Philip's brother's wife. Okay, it's wrong. It's sin. And John had the guts and fortitude to let him know about it. Amen. And you know, it says he called folks. You look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. That's where John's talking. And the Lord himself, oh, generation of vipers. John gets in their business over there and tells them what they are to their face. Amen. And so he had a solid foundation. You know, if you study his life, his daddy Zacharias in Luke. Look at Luke chapter 1. His mom and dad were wonderful, wonderful people. Amen. He came from some good stock. Amen. They put some time in that boy. Amen. The Lord said there wasn't greater born of man than John, born of woman. It was John. He's the forerunner of the Lord. The Lord put him first as far as man's concerned, as far as preachers. Amen. And look what it says in Luke chapter 1, talking about his dad and mom. I tell you, they were good folks. And thank God for it, mom and dad. It's worth it. It's worth it. Timothy's a third generation Christian. 2 Timothy 1:5 talks about his grandma and mom. It's worth it. It's worth it to leave a legacy behind and heritage for you to reproduce after your own kind and fall in love with the Lord and keep reproducing. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen. And it can be done in 2011. I don't care what they say. I mean, listen, this country is sugar. And Bill Clinton and Obama and all these people, it's sugar compared to Nebuchadnezzar. It's sugar compared what's his name when Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter? Nero. You study that man's life. Wow, he was wicked, man. Rome, when Rome ruled the world, I mean, they killed Christians by the truckloads. We're living and we think we got it back because we've had it so good for so long. But I'm telling you, there was old time people that went through some very, very severe things for the Lord. Amen. And so anyhow, so John had, let's look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. The Bible says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And that's talking about Mary. Let's go on down. Look, at, if you will, at verse 40. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. There they are. And dropped down to verse 75. And it says this. And you follow the context, they go back and forth. There's dialogue there with the Lord. Mary's talking and goes into his mom and dad, John, Elizabeth, and Zacharias. And it says in verse 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now look at that. That he would grant, verse 74, unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou, what am I looking for here? Is that the right place? I think it is. Was that talking about Zacharias? Yes, okay. Yeah, 59 says, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after his father's name. You know what happens? And his mother answered and said, not so, but he should be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father that he would have him called, and he asked for a writing table and so forth and so on. And then he opened his mouth, of course, you know, and spoke out. And God loosed his tongue in verse 64. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these things were noised abroad. You say, you know what you find there in chapter 1? Personal dialogue between the Lord and his parents. And that's John's mom and dad. And matter of fact, it says, I missed the scripture. Somewhere it talks about him being full of the Holy Ghost. That's in the scripture. Somewhere in that chapter I missed it. We passed over it. But it says Zacharias is full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, there you go. What was it, 57? 67. Yeah, and his father Zacharias, that's what I was looking for, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. That's pretty good stuff. I think he done pretty good, amen, being full of the Holy Ghost. That is our goal in serving God, is to walk in the ways of the Lord, amen. I mean, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to walk with the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Enoch was not, for God took him. I mean, those are men that were a notch above. You take when Saul became king, it said he was head and shoulders above the rest, amen. But then the Lord wasn't looking for that. I mean, the Marine Corps is looking for a few good men. I'm for all that. But God's looking for some godly men, some men full of the Holy Ghost, young people. I mean, Daniel, you talk about whining about your parents. Daniel had no mom and dad serving under Nebuchadnezzar. And he lived for God, fasted, prayed, did a work for God, went through the lion's den and so forth. I mean, the entire book of Daniel is nothing but a testament. As a matter of fact, it's the only guy in the Bible where it says he was of an excellent spirit. Now, that's quite something. That's above the Medal of Honor. That was Daniel, a young man. So you can have as much of God as you want. You've got a heritage. You better grab a hold of it, amen. Better run with it, do something with it while you got the opportunity. Okay, so what was John? He was a preacher. He was an old-time, old-fashioned Baptist preacher. Thank God, okay? Let me say this. Go over to Revelation chapter 17. I think our greatest enemy, I'm going to pass over this and close this out with a couple things about a Baptist and I'm done. Look at Revelation chapter 17. And I know this is, it's debate over here, but again, it's practical preaching. Look here in chapter 17, verse 1. The greatest enemy of Jesus Christ is religion. Right. Our country's full of it. Okay? And just like of that, the greatest enemy of us independent Baptists is, of course, religion. I just dealt with one out there, the Mormons. But really, personal enemy that we've stepped into the ring with is the Catholic Church. Okay? And if you study church, I got family folks that are Catholic. I'm not against the people, but the church, the hierarchy, the doctrine that they teach, it is so, so dangerous. Amen? And they're in the top ranks alongside the Mormons in this country, the fastest growing religion in the world. And there's no doubt I believe they're going to be around when the Antichrist shows up. And there's probably a little bit of a chance he might even come out of that outfit. Amen? And I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to be up at the marriage supper of the Lamb, have myself a time. Amen? With my glorified body running 700 miles an hour through the heavens. Amen? And you get in my way then, your mama get run over. Amen? Well, wouldn't you like to be able to do that nowadays, driving down the highway so we can have a glorified body? Amen? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But anyhow, look what it says. Verse 1 says, and there came of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come up hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations of filthiness of her fornication. And the Bible says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Now, look at chapter 17. We just read it. We'll go to verse 9, same chapter. First thing I want to say about this mother church is this, the foundation that she has. Look at verse 9. And if nothing else, this is a great coincidence. It ought to make you appreciate your heritage you got, young people. And here is the mind, verse 9 of chapter 17, which hath the seven heads or seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. You know what Rome's called? The city on seven hills. That's what it's called today. That's in the books. That's recorded. You can go over there. I don't recommend going to Rome unless you're going to track bomb it. Amen? But the Vatican and all that stuff, I ain't got no time for that. Amen? But you probably won't make it out of there alive if you track bomb that place. But anyhow, you help yourself. Amen? But so her foundation, look at Revelation 17, 18. The same chapter, it says, "In the moon which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." I know it's talking about Babylon here, but look at the paradox. Look at the typology. Look at Revelation chapter... We'll go back to 17, verse 3 and 4. You know what Rome's colors are? Does anybody know? Scarlet and purple. Catholic Church. Yes, sir. Amen. That's what it says. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, verse 4 says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and color decked and so forth and so on. That's her foundation. What about her family? Look at Revelation 17, 5. It says, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Now, you know what I'm going to say about this? This is where all the Protestants came from. Now, don't get upset with the preacher. I've got the trail of blood in a moment. I'm going to read you a couple quotes from it. There's been part two to that. I recommend reading for young people. What kind of heritage you've got. But that crowd, I'm telling you, was ungodly. And right here, when you look at the Methodists, I'm not picking on these people now, but all those outfits came out. When Luther nailed that thing on that thesis he put up there, that's why when you still today, they're almost on their way back. They all wear the robes. They wear backwards collars. Their traditions are the same. They no longer preach the blood of Christ and repentance and salvation. They don't preach that stuff. It's all went to works. Well, honey, we're right back to where Mama started it over here in Revelation. It's right back to where it started, and it's going to go that way to have this tribulation thing kick off when we get exited out of here like a rocket, amen? Because I am not going through the tribulation. And I don't care what our independent Baptist buddies write these books about the split trib. Hey, I ain't no post-trib, or I ain't a mid-trib. I'm a pre-trib. Amen. P-R-E. Amen. And if you miss it, don't pack your bags. You're staying here, honey. You're going through it. Amen. And you better hope to God. I mean, now you're up for debate. Well, can we get saved at church? I don't know. I'm not going to argue about that. I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to be here to worry about it. He said he's going to send a strong delusion. You better watch all that stuff. But you better do thank God for your heritage. You's born in a home that believes that book, the King James Bible. And you ought to not be ashamed, and I know you're not, to be called a Baptist. B-A-P-T-I-S. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. That's an elite group of people in this country, in this world. Amen. I thank God for it. Amen. I ain't taking my name off the sign. All of them go to pot. Amen. That's no reason to quit. Wow. That's what the devil wants us to do. Don't even talk in their own language. I done tore the mic up. Oh my. Man. I told you I need a glorified body so I can't tear it up. That's her family. What about her fury? Look at Revelation 17:6. Look what this crowd does. She was drunk with the blood of the saints. Drunken with the blood of the saints. Now what do I do with that book? There it is. Real quick, I'm almost through. Let me read you. I know you probably... How many of y'all ever seen this? I'm sure you have. Okay. So I don't want to... The history of the Baptists he discovered was written in blood. They were the hated people of the Dark Ages. This ain't in the public school. It ain't. Congress and the Senate and the House of Representatives know nothing about this stuff. Oh, they do, but they've hidden it. They buried it deep in the Library of Congress. They don't want nobody knowing about this stuff. Oh, well, y'all... Get them to admit to it, which I've pinned some of these guys, even some of these priests I've talked to. I finally got them to admit to this stuff. Because there's dates. It's recorded. You can't avoid it. They'll say, well, that was them. We're now. Oh, no. Oh, no, sir. They ain't nothing new under the sun. Granted, you can't do that in America, but if they could, they would. They cut your forefathers' tongues out. Did you know? I'll read it to you. Okay. It says the world has never seen any, that their preachers and people were put into prison and untold numbers were put to death. The world has never seen anything to compare with the suffering, the persecution heaped upon the Baptists by the Catholic hierarchy during the Dark Ages. The Pope was the world's dictator. This is why, if you read any type of old time reading, and I recommend you do it, this is why the Anabaptists before the Reformation called the Pope the Antichrist. They literally thought he was that, and he wasn't, but it was so rough, the persecution, they thought that. Wow. Yeah, I'll tell you now, if the Lord tarries, they'll want his head in the platter, they're going to want my head in the platter, they're going to want your head in the platter. If you stick with that book and stay straight, if God tarries 30 more years, or even maybe 10 or 15, they're going to come after us. Well, come and get us, because I ain't changing. You ain't taking my Bible, that'll cost you. I mean that. Shoot me, I'm saved. You shoot me, I'm out of here. Thank God I don't ache no more. I don't pay bills no more. Man, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm in the presence of the Lord. How can you? You ain't going to scare me with that. Amen. That's how real it is. So that's the way it ought to be. Okay, I got to get done here. I really didn't want to be because you got a lot to do tonight. Let me read you this and then we'll move out. The trail of blood. I again call your attention to those upon whom the hard hand of persecution fell. If 50 million died of persecution during the 1200 years of what are called the Dark Ages, as history seems to probably teach, then they died faster than an average of 4 million every 100 years. That seems almost beyond the limit of human conception. As before mentioned, this iron hand dripping with martyr blood fell upon the Paulicians, the Arnolds, the Heracians, the Petrobrusians. They're all called, they got a nickname, Anabaptists. Of course, much harder and upon some others, but this horrible power struggle will be passed over hurriedly. This is just old time stuff. Listen, they put their heads, they'd cut their heads off and stick them on poles after they soaked them in kerosene to light the streets. Yeah, that's what our buddies did, amen? That ain't my buddy, but anyhow, yeah. I'm not trying to be mean, okay? But I want you to have, and I know you know, amen, but you ought to thank God for the heritage the Lord has given you, amen? So that's her fury. What's her followers? Well, let's close with that. It says in Revelation chapter 18, look at chapter 18, verse 3 and 4. For all nations have drunk, Revelation chapter 18, verse 3 and 4, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. It's a tempting thing. I mean, what a great opportunity. You can live like a monster, get right on Saturday, in church Sunday, and start over Monday. You got the best of both worlds. You got the flesh, make him happy. And you got, quote unquote, the religious man, make him happy. What a happy harmony. Who wouldn't want that religion as a lost man? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But see, when you get saved, young people, it's a blessing. When the Holy Ghost moves on the inside, you do right. Your goal is you get older is to do right because you love God. Want to, Mama? Not because I have to. Because you have to. Everyone has those.
But listen, as a lifestyle, as a conversation of life,
it's because you want to. That's what a real Bible believer is. One that loves God. That's your motive for doing what you do. He just listen.
You know, and I hate to get on this, but
the preacher and the son of the teachers always get blamed in the Christian school. When Junior ain't doing right,
everybody always smashes the preacher, smashes the Sunday school teacher.
It's the Christian school. Let me help you all out.
It's mom and dad's problem. It starts
at the home. And everything they do compliments daddy what you're already supposed to be doing.
Amen. It's our fault. I'm a daddy.
It's 99/9 of the problems in the home anyhow are the man's fault. Say amen. Everything rises and falls on leadership. It's in our court. And I'm telling you, so I don't know how to get on all that, but they always get the blame in all this stuff. But listen, you got a godly heritage. How do I get on that? That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Anyhow, let me close. Amen. It's always easy to pass the buck and blame somebody else. Amen. So let me close with this. The word Baptist, what is it? B's biblical autonomy. It's your Bible. Biblical authority. That's found in 1 Timothy 3, 16 and 17.
Turn that off.
Yes, sir. Yeah, if you would please turn on the pulpit, Mike.
Just turn that thing off.
Yes, sir, I did.
Amen.
So, number one, let me close with this, biblical authority. That's your King James Bible. That's us, Independent Baptists. The books are authority. Number two, it's a Tommy local church. Colossians 1:18. We don't have a convention.
That's right.
Everything rises and falls on God's man.
That's right.
Listen, if you can't trust him with the money, then why is he your preacher? And I know he's got checks and balances. Well, that's kid stuff. Let's just be real about it. God called him to pastor this church, period. When I was in the military, I had guys that I fell under that I didn't always like. But they were in charge. And they demanded us to obey.
Because it's right. And if he messes up, got to deal with him. See, there's a fine line where everybody gets quiet on this stuff, man. See, God put a man in charge, whether you like it or not.
a basket. Look at the women preachers. Look at the two-headed rattlesnakes in this country. Look at what they're doing. They're doing nothing for God. Yeah. God called a man. He didn't call a woman in a dress to swing around and scream and holler at somebody. Ain't nothing right about it. Amen, amen. My aunt's not a preacher. I don't care what they say. Amen. We just had a nut come to our church and sat down in front of my wife 4 months ago. And see, I'm going to tell you this, you're going to think, man, you're always in trouble. No, I'm really not. We had a guy come to our church. He had hair about to hear. He sat in the front row. We were nice to him, shook his hand, glad you're here, so forth, so on. Preacher was out of town. Brother Red was preaching. He was teaching on, help me out, babe, that night. He did a Bible study on comfort. Thank God y'all listened. Amen. And while he was teaching, this guy started mumbling. Well, I'm hard of hearing from all the aircraft noise. I can't hear 4,000 decimal on. I can't hear nothing. So I can see his lips move, but I don't know what he's saying. Well, my wife's afraid to say anything. Well, he's over there cussing. Oh, yeah. He's cussing this guy. Oh, really? I'm three guys over. It's me, Mom, Tracy. All my kids are down the road. There's a couple visiting. Miss Carolyn and Bill Crumble. They were sitting next to my kids, and this guy's right in front. Well, he gets louder. Well, Brother Red, somehow, he was the God Almighty. He veered across about a God called a man to preach, and this guy goes, beep. Ticked off because he said it was a man, God called a man to preach. That's that devil in him coming out. See, you better thank God for your heritage. You better thank God for the truth. Priesthood of the believers, the word P in Baptist. 1 Peter 2 verses 5 through 9, Hebrews 4, 16. God gave us men. We're priests in Christ. It's wonderful, man. We're the priest over our homes. It's great stuff. Amen. The two ordinances of the church for T. That's your baptism by immersion, the Lord's Supper. Thank God. Amen. You find that in Matthew, or you find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, amen. Matthew chapter 28, individual salvation of the soul. It's by grace through faith, amen. That's as plain as the nose on your face, amen. Anything else you try to drag out, Matthew 25, where it says the same, the endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You're dealing with all, they can take stuff out of James, anywhere they want to grab and twist it and pervert it and wrest it to their own destruction. But that book teaches by grace through faith. You ain't working your way to heaven, or Lord had no business getting on the cross. Say amen. That's just simple to me. That's horse sense. Amen. Saved, baptized, church membership. Okay, I believe that. That's in the book, Acts chapter 2. Two offices. The pastor, not pastoress. It's not in the Bible. Not deaconess. Deacon. It's male. M-A-L-E. It's male, masculine. Amen. That's no. Listen, the greatest call in this building is to be a godly mom. Yeah, amen. Last of all, separation of the state from the church. You find that, look at Matthew 22, verse 15. I know that what's-his-name wrote a letter. I think it was Jefferson. One of those statesmen wrote a letter. In his letter, he talked about separating the church and state. And ever since then, everybody in this country that don't like God has jumped on the bandwagon and twisted it and said the Constitution says that. Doesn't say that. Never has. Okay, I've read the Constitution. It's not in there. Just another one of those things where people hear things and they don't check it out, amen. That came from a letter from a statesman talking to a buddy of his, okay? Amen. But you know what it does? What the Lord did say. Look at Matthew chapter. Listen, we need God in the state. We need God in the state's affairs. We just don't need the state telling the preacher what to do, amen. That's the problem. That's what they don't like. Matthew, and I'm going to close with this. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Thank God for our godly heritage, amen. Matthew 22, verse 15, the Lord said, well, let's drop on down. That's where he starts talking to the Pharisees, and he's having a conversation with them. They're trying to debate with him. And he talks about Caesar down there. 17, tell us therefore what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they showed him, brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, who is the image and superscription? They said, of course they say Caesar. Then he says unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar, unto God the things which are God. That's simple. The state's business. But you know what? You better have God in the state's business. Because you know what? Look at where we're at today because we don't, okay? Listen, kids, you got a godly heritage. Old-fashioned Baptist godly heritage with an old King James Bible, amen? You better thank God for it, amen? It's worth every mile. Like I tell you young people every time, it's good to see all different ages here. And they grow up and get married and they're still here. It's just a blessing, amen? I'm going to tell you something. You've got the greatest life you could ever have. I don't care what the people in Jacksonville try to tell you. I got family members that live here and that live in Rosedale and Clinton and Indianapolis and Sullivan. And they could have been here. But they're not. Because they got ball games tonight. Yeah. And wrong answer. You do what you want to do. See, this country thinks other things are more important than the Lord. I pray God bust their baseball and smash it like an apple. Amen? Playing baseball on God's day. Listen, that's what we got going on today with young people.